For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
Oh, my life is changing every day in every possible way. And oh, my dreams, it's never quite as it seems, never quite as it seems. This awful William Shatner impression brought to you by your friends at All New, All Different, All of the Above. Welcome to All New, All Different, All of the Above. New version of the old scene. My name is Hank. How are you today? If you've been listening to All New, All Different, All of the Above Radio over the course of 2021, you know that this has been a little bit sporadic. It's fun every time, but it's been a little bit sporadic. By the way, if you want to get connected to the show, alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. THEHRT3@gmail.com. Or go ahead and find me on Instagram at Hank Told You So or at Hank. Hey, how you doing? My name's Hank Thorpe. Hey, how you doing? And well, like I told you last time, if you want to find the old clips of All of the Above Radio, my previous show that I talk about so very, very much, permission granted, Hank Thorpe. HANKTHORPE on Facebook, and go into videos and drop back into October, November, December of 2019 to find what the old show was all about. I tell you, I keep getting an itch to go back to the Fishbowl Studios and just do the full immersive experience of music and talk and Facebook Live. I get that itch every now and then. I very badly miss doing that version of the show, and I genuinely miss regularly doing a podcast for you and for me. I very much miss the conversations I would have with you during the show, and then the conversations that would open up after. And by the way, I repeat, feel free to send me an email anytime. I love those email correspondences I get every so often. I think I gave you all the contact information. I mean, yeah, you're welcome to Venmo me a little bit at the only Henry Thorpe to keep this going. I still have to pay off all that stupid equipment I am not using if we were listening to the last episode. That's not why we're here today. So if you're wondering why I read lyrics to one of the most beautiful songs to come out of the 90s, Dreams, from the Cranberries, I wanted to come to you today with another one of my famous, damn near patented, make connections from nothing. So I gave you the lyrics to the song Dreams because I've been having this real crazy recurring dream of late. I actually, throughout the course of my life, I've had a few, and maybe I'll come at you with some of those later. Excuse me. I'll give you the chance to be Dollar Store Psychologist, alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. You're welcome to give me your thoughts, takes, and analysis on what you think the dreams mean, but I'm going to tell you here two of them. because these are the two most currently appropriate to my stage of life. So let me go to my trusty notes so that I can read it to you so that I remember it all. So the most recent time this dream happened was last week, late last week, maybe the night before Thanksgiving. I am a college student again. For those of you who don't know, I went to Ithaca College for 2 years, fresh out of high school. Failed out. Sorry. And then picked myself back up at Sussex County Community College and then transferred to Eastern Michigan University, to which I now have a degree from there. And every now and then I get a big old swell of pride when I'm watching NFL and I see football players from Eastern doing well. There's not many, so I grasp onto it. When you go to a college that is 15 minutes away from the University of Michigan, any good to great player that plays high school in a Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, that ends up in Michigan is either going to Michigan or Michigan State. So anytime there's a good professional player from Eastern Michigan, man, I sure do swell up with pride. Max Crosby, Andrew Wiley, those are the two that are the most notable currently. Super Bowl champion Andrew Wiley, by the way. But I do have a degree, and once upon a time I was a terrible student, then a good student, then a really good student when I became focused and realized what being a student actually was. Or what you needed to be to pass school. There's a difference in being a good student and understanding how to pass school. Sometimes I was one, sometimes I was the other. Very, very few times was I a combination of the two. We can have a different conversation about that one day if you'd like. But I finally figured out how to pass school and was able to zoom in and get it done and figure it out and knock it out of the park. With a very good GPA, by the way. But this dream I keep having, and it's only actually been exclusive to this year. So I'm a student again, mostly in college, sometimes in high school, where my GPA is pretty good, but I keep forgetting to study for this one class. And I have a huge test, or I have a huge report to turn in. The dream flips between the two. I have a really huge test that I just forgot to study for, didn't open the book, didn't read the material, was just like, oh, I have a test in that tomorrow, or oh, I have a report to turn in that. And I just keep saying, well, maybe I can just show up and fake it. Maybe I'll get enough of a grade that I won't fail. And then sometimes in the dream, because the dream's not exactly the same every time, but every single time I have a class that I'm failing in that I keep forgetting about. That is the consistent, or constant, whatever you want to say. But sometimes I say, well, maybe I'll just show up and fake it and that'll be enough. And then sometimes I say, well, I'm doing so well in my other classes, maybe I can just fail this one and it won't hurt my GPA. I'm pretty sure I'm going to graduate. So with that being the backdrop, with that being the recurring dream, here I am to tell you what I think it actually is. I have, so I am engaged to a woman who is highly goal-oriented. She is very list-oriented, very goal-oriented. Wants to see her growth as a person and successes as a person on a sheet of paper that you can check off. wants to be able to quantify. It's just how her mind works, and it's beautiful. And you know what's even more beautiful? It's beautiful to see the when she wells up with happiness and or pride when she does A, succeed, and B, check it off, because it makes her even happier. And so, having been a person for years and years and years that has told everybody that I want to be better this year than I was the year before, I was like, yeah, okay, well, I'll make up some random goals. And then she pulls out this big old sheet of paper of her goals for 2021, and I said, well, crap, I can't be the lazy one in this relationship. I gotta make some goals for myself. And you know what? It's a bit of a motivator. And it's ideal that you're with somebody that does motivate you. Not out of fear, but because you want to stay step for step with them. You want to be able to walk next to them. You don't want to walk behind them. You don't want to walk ahead of them. You want to walk next to them. And maybe my list of goals is a little smaller just because I want to focus it on different things. You don't each have to have 25 things you want to accomplish, because 25 goals might be smaller versus 11 that might be big. And this is me all setting it. This is just me creating one big pillow for you to now put your head on and rest with the idea of what I'm about to tell you. So my list is, 'cause my list consists of, I want to say it's maybe 9 or 10 things. One of which will be checked off in December. Make that 2 will be checked off in December. 1 is already done. And then there's a few that are floating. One of them is ridiculously possible. One of them's going to take a lot of work. And one of them, here's where the dream comes in, is borderline impossible. Like, really, it's borderline impossible to check this goal. And as much as I am a person who believes in the journey and the learning, I'm also going to sit here and tell you that obviously, somewhere in my sleep, somewhere in my subconscious, my mind is a little stressed about not feeling like I'm going to be able to accomplish everything on the list. And you might be wondering what those things are. I'm not going to tell you what they are just yet. I'm not going to tell you what the goals are, because what we are going to do at the end of the year, or maybe just right at the beginning of 2022, I'm going to give you my full status report of how I did with every single goal. We will have a full show with a full status report on it. But here I am to tell you, well, a full final report. But here with the status report, I'm well over 50% on my goals. One of them is a floating goal that is conversational, and I'll get to that one at a later date also. But the others have a definitive checkoff point. I'm over 50%. I can 100% is going to be borderline impossible. And maybe it stresses me out a little bit because I continue to have the dream where I'm failing one class and I have to show up and do something for that class, and I'm not ready. Now, you as Dollar Store Psychologist, I invite you to do so. THEHRT3@gmail.com or allofthe@gmail.com. Feel free to tell me what you think. Do you think it has anything to do with that dream? Do you think my goals for 2021 have anything to do with that dream? I invite your opinion. I wonder how you think. I'll give you a little sneak peek. One of those goals was financial. I wanted to, and I talked about this, I believe, at the top six things I've heard since I got engaged. I think I talked about this. Once upon a time, I thought, and every woman that is married is about to shake their head in disbelief, I thought you basically paid all of your debts for weddings at the end. I jokingly thought it was like one big publisher's clearinghouse check where you just wrote it and just handed it to people. Oh no, they want a deposit to, you know, to guarantee your spot. And then they want money as you go. They'll break it down into a nice digestible payment plan, but boy, they want your money quick and they want it often. So originally I thought I was going to make a goal of X amount of money to pay for the wedding at the end. And then when I realized that was not a thing, I said, oh, well then let me just set that amount of money aside and then I'll fling it into a CD at the end of the year. That's one. And two, I wanted to take a trip to some city that I've never been to other than the trip that I already had planned. I had already had a trip to Hawaii booked, so I didn't want to count that. And have I done that? Well, we'll talk about that in just a little over a month. Along with how I did with setting money aside, and along with every other goal, for which I'm not going to tell you those, because, well, we got to have a full show, don't we? Goodness gracious, of course we do. And here's another dream that I have that ended up being a little appropriate to the times. And now more appropriate if I were to truly go deep in conversation, but I'm going to save that for a little bit. So here's another one I've had. And this one I've actually had probably since high school. But it still is a thing, and it's happened in a couple of different ways. So I am a person who very much enjoys the comic book and animated television and Marvel Cinematic Universe lifestyle. I haven't been to a comic book convention, Comic-Con, since 1993. But throughout the course of my life, I have been a collector of comic book cards, comic books, a watcher of comic book television, comic book movies. It is all a really fun world of imagination that for a kid who, and an adult, who struggles with feeling insignificant and ordinary, it's interesting to insert yourself into a world where everyone is extraordinary. Or at least everyone has the potential to be extraordinary. And you imagine the powers that you would have, what you would do. And true story, the summer of seventh grade, I actually spent most of the summer walking around with a clipboard, index cards, and pencils because I was creating a team of comic book characters. All of my friends, 11 of my friends and me, we were the Bioforce 12. Then I changed the name to the Mercenaries. And we were superheroes. We were a huge team of superheroes. And I was writing every single character, every person, their powers, their outfits. That was big detail. It's huge detail. So when you ask me, am I some level of absorbed in this world? Yeah, I sure am. So here's where that applies. Pretty often, we'll go ahead and call it once a month, if not a little bit more. Ever since high school, I've had some dream where I am in the midst of a conflict. A conflict, and it's usually set in some cinematic universe world where there are mutants attacking, or there is superheroes and supervillains fighting and something to something to something, and I am one of these superheroes. And it's coming down to the point where it's time for me to either flee or fight. And in some of the dreams, I am ready to fight. And in some of the dreams, I'm ready to flee. So in the dreams where I'm ready to flee, I take a running start and take a leap to fly. And I can't. I get a couple of feet into the air and I come back down. And I start like that moment when your car starts clicking and it's not starting. It was like that. So I'm running again and I push off and I get into the air maybe a couple more feet, but I can't fly. And I can't get away and I can't fly. And then I wake up. Or when I stand to fight, I kind of like Ken and Ryu, kind of like start to get my hands together to throw a fireball or use whatever my power is, and it's not working. All I get is kind of like falling static, kind of like when this is a reference that not a lot of people are going to get. That moment where the Shogun of Harlem, Shoduff, you see the red glow on his hands and Bruce Leroy tries to get the golden glow on his hands and all you see is just kind of like flickering electricity just falling. It's that moment where in the dream I'm getting ready to use my power, but it's not working. It's not coming out. It's not firing. It's not powering. And when I was, and every so often that dream manifests itself not as a superhero, but as just a person, where I'm in the midst of a fight and I am swinging wildly on somebody, punching somebody wildly. And as Run-DMC said, and the shots they take have no effect. I'm hitting this person in the face or with a baseball bat or kicking them and nothing. Just nothing. I am just pouring everything I have into him and just nothing. And I have wondered over and over again. We're back into awake speaking world now. Most anyone you talk to that has been in a fight or has been in a series of fights, like bar fights or locker room brawls or just whatever, has said it's not worth it, shouldn't have done it, I regret it. Most people say that. People that end up getting paid to work in the octagon, they probably feel a little different way. a 22-year-old fraternity kid, oh god, I remember back to being a student at Eastern Michigan on a Friday night. As a student at Eastern Michigan, I would hang out with my then-friend, eventually roommate, and his fraternity brothers. And we'd be, predictably, sitting around somebody's house playing Nintendo 64 or PlayStation, I think PS2 at the time, listening to the All Eyes on Me album for the fourth time in the night. And some a-hole says, I want to get in a fight tonight. Because they're just exhilarated by the mob mentality of 10 people beating on 2. Which, funny story. One night, I think it was, might have been right around Halloween. In Ypsilanti, where I went to school, the campus is there, but it's also just a college town. So just folks just live in Ypsilanti. It's not just college students. And so we're walking down the block from one house to another, and we got a couple of cases of beer with us, and just some random, as they were referred to, townies, just folks that lived in Ypsilanti that just worked there, just grew up there, whatever, but didn't go to the school. We're like trying to chat with us. I didn't care. They seem like fine people to me. I didn't give a rat's backside, but the group I was with, they were very put off by it. and they started talking smack to these two guys. There's, I think, nine of us, and they're talking to two guys. So obviously, mob mentality has kicked in. And so these two dudes start jawing back. And I don't feel any need whatsoever for there to be any escalation. I don't feel any need for there to be any static or drama. But my group is just like, you seem pretty aggressive. Why don't you go jerk off? And so now these people are jawing back at each other, calling each other assholes and whatever nasty words you want to call fraternity kids. And so me, I took two beers out of the case. I was like, hey man, if all you want is beer, here you go. It's not that serious. And the dude's like, well, fuck you, Boy Scout. I tried to offer this gentleman a beer. I'm trying to broker a quick peace deal between a whole bunch of testosterone-filled jagweeds, and I get called a Boy Scout? I tell you this story because, apparently, I went home. Within the hour, I went home to go do something else. And apparently, that group of eight that I left behind went looking for those two dudes and beat the snot out of them. Why, you ask? I don't know. So, at that point in your life, you're exhilarated by getting in a fight. But as people become adults, most people that have been in fights or a series of them say, it's not worth it. I regret it. But here's where I think the dream applies to me, where I am a superhero who either can't fly or can't fight. I've never been in a physical fist fight before. I have been in a place in my life where I am usually able to diffuse things verbally. Or I have somebody alongside of me that restrains me. The four or five times that I have wanted to physically fight somebody, I can remember two of them. One of them, I was like 13 years old, racing go-karts, and this kid actually sideswiped me in the go-kart because I was beating him. And I was so mad that I went after him. And my brother stopped me because he said, okay, so you're going to beat him up and then what? And he said that enough times for it to kind of click in my head that it didn't need to happen. And then more recently, probably within the last 5 years, I was at work, and the job I'm at now used to be a much more unruly restaurant. It used to be open later. It used to bring louder, more aggressive bands in, which brought in louder, more aggressive people. And so I had to cut some people off, and there was a server's pad where you write down your orders. It was sitting on top of the bar. And so this guy got real offended when I told him that him and his friends were cut off. He got so mad at me that he took the pad and whipped it at my chest. And as that pad hit my chest and fell to the floor, I kind of looked at the pad and looked down at the pad on the floor and looked back at him. And I very quietly just started walking outside of the bar to go kick him off his chair. And the other bartender, who was a certified asshole, who had most assuredly been in fights before, put his hand on my chest, looked me dead in the face, and said, not worth it. Because in that moment, all you can think about is retaliation. You're not thinking about, oh crap, I'm going to lose my job because I'm on camera and it looks like I'm the aggressor. As they say, in the NBA, the technical foul is always thrown at the guy, is always thrown at the second guy. It's usually not the guy who throws the first punch. It's the guy who, you know, it's the guy who retaliates. And I remember I actually had to verbally talk down to a woman who wanted me to get in a fight. This got to be solid 9-10 years ago at this point, maybe even further back. I was on a date with her, over in the shops at Legacy, for those of you in local DFW, you're familiar with, I think it was Scruffy Duffy's. And I'm on a date with this girl, and we're just chatting back and forth, having a good time, and I get up to go to the bathroom. And I go to the bathroom, and I come back, and there's two dudes sitting at the table talking to her. And I was a little bit bigger at the time. I was probably a little closer to 200 pounds. And to two 21-year-old kids, I probably looked a little imposing. Unfortunately, they didn't know me, and they didn't know that I'm a pretty peaceful guy. That don't really matter. So I walked up to the table, and as plain and calm as I ever could have done, with a big smile on my face, I shook their hands, said hey, and asked them how their night was and what they were up to, just knowing that they were going to back down. I could see it on them. I knew they were going to back down. Just engage conversation in them. And they started walking away. I was like, where are you guys going? You want to hang out? And they left. And the girl says to me, so what would have happened if they wanted to fight me? I said, well, I would have done everything to verbally defuse the situation. She says, well, what if they wanted to fight? I said, well, I would have let them throw the... I would have most assuredly let them throw the first punch, because just in case somebody sees it, they throw the first punch, they're getting thrown out. Now, that is counterproductive to what I just said about the NBA. But in a bar, usually if somebody else throws the first punch and I get enough people to see it, you get enough witnesses, those witnesses are going to be like, oh yeah, I have no idea what happened, but that guy swung on that guy. In pro sports, it's a little different. At the bar, you can usually get the guy who threw the first punch either thrown out, or people will talk smack on him. And she was really disappointed with my answer. She wanted a lion in the den. And you know what? Okay. I wasn't that guy for her, and obviously we didn't last long after that. And by the way, this is a story I haven't told in a while. Speaking of having never been in a fight before, that same girl, we went on a couple of dates. We went out on a Friday night, maybe a couple weeks later. We went out on a Friday night, and it was a good night. Met up with a bunch of friends at, oh crap, I am not going to remember the name of it anymore, and it does not matter. But we went out and we left early because we wanted to just like have private time. So we had a couple drinks with friends. We left. We got some. And meanwhile, she had never fully broken up with her boyfriend. He was one of those people who was real possessive and real insecure. And she was one of those people that really liked the drama. So she kept fanning flames. Listen, it takes two to tango. And so back and forth, they were texting with each other that night. And the next thing you know, I brought a couple of beers over to her apartment, and we went and got some takeout from, I think maybe Taco Bueno or Taco Cabana. So we're sitting around, we're eating some Taco Cabana, having a beer at her place. Things are getting good. We're having a good old time. About an hour goes by. It is 3 in the morning. I hear a bang on the door. And she says, oh, shit. I said, excuse me? She says, I told him it's over, but it's probably my ex. So my instinct told me, okay, I'm on the second floor. I'm not jumping out the fucking window. So I'm just going to hide in the bathroom and collect myself. So I went into the bathroom. So for the sake of the story, I probably need to tell you there was some level of canoodling going on in the bedroom as we were hearing the bang on the door from outside, like the main entry is where we hear the banging on the door at 3 a.m. and we're in the bedroom with the door shut. So I bolt with my clothes to the bathroom and she lets him in and now they're arguing. It's not flat out yelling, but it's not whisper fighting. They are definitely having a deep argument of a conversation. And I'm standing in the bathroom thinking, okay, he's crazy enough to show up at 3 a.m. to a woman who may or may not be his anymore. And I always think about that line that Ice Cube said in When Will They Shoot? Track number 2 on The Predator. They killed JFK in 63, so what the fuck you think they'll do to me? This man is crazy enough to get in the face of his quote-unquote girlfriend, the woman he loves, or at least the thing he's infatuated with and the possession he feels he's lost. What's it going to do to me, who is now in the way of that? This is one of the moments I am most proud of in terms of diffusing. So I collect myself, I walk out of the bathroom, and I walk over to the refrigerator, and I grab all the beers I brought with me. Some very expensive stuff, by the way. I was like, hey man, my name is blah, blah, blah. Are you a fan of beer? I have this one, and this one. This one's really good, and this one's really delicious. You guys open them up, and you guys have a good time. I waved goodbye to the girl and walked out the door. That is damn near how the story went, second by second. I was so, in the moment, mortified. But after it happened, I was so proud of just how softly I was able to toe out of there without A, viewing a physical altercation, and B, being in one. Because the last thing I'm doing, is getting my ass kicked for some girl that ain't worth it. I will get my ass kicked for somebody that is. In fact, in a story that I'm not going to tell you, I've actually thought about that of late. I can tell you in some way or another. Now that I am engaged, I have found the woman that I will be spending the rest of my life with. I have these weird random daydreams where I have to be her protector, where I choose to be her protector, where we're leaving downtown Dallas and there's a slightly more aggressive homeless person than normal, and I have to get between homeless person and my fiance. And I think about the moments where I will take whatever beating you have to give me so that she can be safe. I think about that. To go back to me talking about me, I would hope I can diffuse it. I would hope I can talk it down. I would hope I can make the situation calm and everybody can walk away feeling like some level of compromise or absolution or resolution was made. But I do think about now scenarios where I will genuinely take any beating you have so that she can be safe. I do think about that. Now, I think about how it will be done in a way that I can still somehow possibly succeed. Because like I've told you, I have never been in a fist fight. I just have not been in a fist fight, and here's how we reconnect the dots. I wonder if all the way back to high school, I've had these dreams of being in a fight and not knowing what my fists can do, of being in a superhero style movie and either not being able to fight or not being able to fly. And I wonder if it's because I've never been in a fight. I wonder if it's because I have no actual clue of what I can do, that my dreams are just a manifestation over and over and over and over again of me never having been in a fight and having never physically stood up for myself. And why I came to you today to chat about it is because last week, at time of recording, one of my, just as a quick reminder, I'm a bartender 4 days a week and a massage therapist 2 days a week. So, at my massage job, my first client last week was the owner and instructor of a Taekwondo studio. And I took Taekwondo when I was a kid, when I was in the third and fourth grade. My mother shoved me into Taekwondo because I was a fat child who really would rather play video games and watch TV at that point in my life. I wanted to play with Legos, I wanted to play video games. Anything that was creative, I wanted to do it. I loved playing baseball, but I was terrible at it. My mother didn't want me to play football because she thought I would get hurt. I loved playing tennis. But my mother was forever finding ways for me to be active and to get me out of the house. Because as I look back on it, a person who consistently asks, "Mom, can I have a snack? What's for dinner?" and playing video games, she probably thought, "Well, I need to get this boy either into the backyard to do something or get him out of the house where he's forced to do something." And so I took Taekwondo. Now, in the third grade, I didn't take it seriously. I was all about fitting in and looking cool in front of what I thought were the cool kids. I didn't take it seriously. If you had to do 20 punches to finish, if you had to do 20 punches, 10 left, 10 right, in a horse stance to get to the next step of class, I wasn't doing full back and shoulder and arm extended punches. I was doing little bitty punches as fast as possible without full extension, just to be the first one to finish. Just to show that I was as cool as the cool kids. Meanwhile, there were kids that I was in class with that said, "I'm staying with this until I get my black belt." And they would go to the actual Taekwondo tournaments where you broke boards and you actually had sparring, where you went up against somebody and actually tested your skill. I never got that far. I think I might have, you start with a white belt and then you get a yellow belt, and then I think you get wraps around the belt before you get the next color belt. I think I got maybe one green tape before I got my green belt. I just didn't enjoy it. Because I was lazy. Now, this age me would probably love it because I have actually considered doing mixed martial arts classes. One, because I'm always searching for something physical to do, and two, since I've never been in a fight, there is a part of me that feels like, as a man, I am lacking. If I can't protect myself, by extension, if I can't protect my fiance physically, some part of me feels like I am failing. So I have wondered over and over and over again, this dream that I keep having, is it directly related? I tend to think it is. Back to the Taekwondo instructor. So in the midst of the massage, if somebody has a really interesting job, I can't help myself but ask questions. The first 10 minutes of the massage is usually me asking questions. And God bless them, most everybody is really happy to answer those questions. I very much appreciate it. And so I asked her, "Who are your favorites to teach?" And she said, "I love teaching elementary school kids Taekwondo." I said, "Really? Why?" And I said, "That's got to be a lot of energy." She said, "Yes, But when you see the difference in their confidence as they go, it is really rewarding. And that sentence absolutely latched onto my brain. And I said, really? So how long does it take? She says, well, it's different from kid to kid, but you'll look at your memories on Facebook and it'll be 7 or 8 months down the road and you'll see where the kids started and where they are at that point, and you are just absolutely amazed at how much they've grown. And let's make things abundantly clear. You have to be ready to do that. You have to want to do that. I would have had to say to my mother, Mom, I want to take Taekwondo. Mom, I want to take mixed martial arts. Mom, I want to take Jiu-Jitsu. I didn't want to. Like, it was an interesting idea, but it was really more her thing than mine. At least to my memory, it was. And so I didn't take it seriously. I just didn't. And so I wonder, had I taken it seriously, or had I even disliked it but kept going with it, would I have just accidentally become a black belt and felt more confident and more comfortable in myself to know if things escalated, this is what I could do? All questions that you can just ask out loud and can't really go back and do anything about. I mean, I could just as easily take classes now. I quite frequently talk to people that are Krav Maga instructors or mixed martial arts or Taekwondo, or thanks to American Ninja Warrior, Ninja, which, by the way, are you actually learning ninjutsu, or are you just learning parkour? And they're calling it ninja classes. Really? I'm just asking an honest question. Are you actually learning ninjutsu like Blade or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles know? Or are you just learning how to work the monkey bars and climb up walls and do stuff like that? Hell of a question. And probably not one for me to answer. But just that conversation with the Taekwondo instructor, and it was a pretty short conversation because she preferred to have a quiet massage, which I respect. She had a very quiet massage after I asked a bunch of questions, but that conversation bullet point stuck with me of the confidence in the kids that she instills through Taekwondo lessons. And I can't even imagine just childhood throughout the decades. I can't even imagine how many moments I probably would have thought a little bit better/more of myself as a kid was laughing at me for being overweight. Or now, I think about just how crazy it is to be maybe cyberbullied or just bullied in general. And these kids, and some of these kids are prime candidates to maybe feel a little bit better by going through classes like Taekwondo. And some part of me still thinks I would benefit, and that's why some part of me, probably once or twice a year, still thinks maybe I need to pick up a self-defense course. I'm not actively seeking to get in a fight with anybody. What I am seeking to actively do is get rid of this damn dream about not being able to fly or not being able to shoot a fireball in a moment of conflict. At least to know that if asked, I can at least leave somebody a little bit tired and unhappy with the choice to fight. I may not whoop that ass, but I may at least give you, I may have at least given you an opportunity to say, ugh, I'm so tired now. Why did I do that? I underestimated him. I've said over and over again on the airwaves of All of the Above Radio, and now on all new, all different All of the Above, I don't always have answers. I frequently just have more questions, which sometimes leads to answers. But now the question is, what do you think? I leave it up to you now. AllOfTheAboveRadio@gmail.com. You've heard my two recurring dreams. The one recurring dream is that I am failing a college course, and I have to pass a test or turn a project in, and I'm pretty sure in real life it relates to the fact that I have a goals sheet to which some of the goals are going to get completed, some of them already have been, and some of them seem damn near impossible. That's one. And the other one, the recurring dream that I'm in a fight or a conflict and I can't flee by flying, or I can't attack by using my powers. And it's because I've never been in a fight, and I have no idea what I actually am capable of, and I'm kind of afraid of that. That's where I think the dots connect. So I leave it to you. What do you think? What do you think of my summation of two of my recurring dreams? And what are some of your recurring dreams? And what do you think they mean? This is a two-way street, people. You and me, we're going to have a conversation. So get to it. Get to sleeping. Get to thinking. Hell, write down your dreams if you're not a person that remembers them as vividly as I do. Or has them as frequently as I do. If that helps. I look forward to your response. I look forward to your continued listening, but I also look forward to your response. We'll do this again soon. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. This has been all new, all different, all of the above. My name is Hank. May there be a next time. I say till next time.